Reinvent your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place. Personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening. This is Deborah Jane Wells. Thank you for tuning in to our show. Today's theme is Follow Your Heart. Unlock the secret to successfully writing and publishing the book inside of you. Through my writing, speaking, radio show, and signature coaching programs, I help individuals and organizations learn to harness the transformative power of love to get unstuck and step into their greatness. When you choose to stop living as a victim of circumstance and fear-based limiting beliefs, and instead embrace the transformative power of loving yourself unconditionally, your experience shifts from breakdown to breakthrough. Choosing to fuel yourself with constructive core energy based in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude produces a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. Choosing love as your core energy changes everything. Your perceptions, opportunities, relationships, and priorities. When love transforms your relationship with yourself, it can't help but transform your personal life, your work, and the world. This week, in celebration of the June 2013 publication of my book, Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life, through Hay House Balboa Press, I'm honored to welcome my guest, Sandy Powell. Sandy has worked in the self-publishing industry since 2001. Over the past 11 years, she has developed a rich understanding of the industry, holding positions in diverse aspects of publishing, including production, online marketing, and business development. She has worked with several major traditional publishers to launch groundbreaking publishing models and continues to develop new partnerships in indie publishing. Currently, she is director of Balboa Press, a division of Hay House. Launched in October 2009, it is the only self-publishing imprint focused exclusively on titles with positive self-help messages. Welcome, Sandy.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me.
Sandy's own life is an inspiring example of the transformation that's possible when you shift from fueling yourself with fear to fueling yourself with unconditional self-love. So, Sandy, how did embracing love as your fuel open a world of possibilities for you?
Well, Deborah, it's very interesting when listening to you and seeing your book. You talk a lot about getting unstuck, being able to fuel yourself with love, and that's sort of what happened to me. It was about in 2000, I moved away from where I was currently living into a new town, and I accepted a new position. And it was a position in a background that I'd been in for years. But it really was not fueling anything inside me. I wasn't excited. I wasn't looking forward to going to work every day. It was just not a place I wanted to be. So I saw an ad in the paper for a publishing company, and it just interested me. And so right then, I decided to go ahead and submit a resume. Now, I had no background in publishing, none. But that was just something that I felt calling me. And, you know, when you really believe in yourself and start opening your doors to possibilities and getting over that inner critic that says you can't, you can go in and start selling yourself. And I took a job at this small little startup there was 50 of us, but we believed really strongly in what we were doing, and that was connecting readers to this new breed of authors coming up, authors that wanted to get the word out, and just knocking down some of the barriers to that. And that has actually made the way to back when self-publishing was looked down upon, and we really had to fight and to get doors open, to now when Hay House Publishing launched this self-publishing imprint and came to me to help do it. And that was the best time in my life. I went from a job that was unfulfilling to a way to work with the most inspirational people I've ever been around. So, you know, I'm sure you can relate. Your book, Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. That's just what I did. I chose my path.
Well, and what I hear in there, so many wonderful things I hear in there. The first is that you paid attention when you were uncomfortable, when you started to notice that a path that may have served you very well for many years was now just not quite, you know, thrilling you the way it might have at one point. You paid attention to that and you honored it so many times. And, you know, part of my own story that I tell in the book is that, it took me a lot more years, it sounds like, than it took you to recognize that the dissatisfaction I was starting to experience with what had been an amazing career with lots of highs, that dissatisfaction didn't mean to do more of the same or just work even harder and take no vacations and not take care of my health at all. You know, I had to kind of beat my head against the wall for quite a few years and become, you know, 80 pounds overweight. I mean, morbidly obese and severely clinically depressed and whatever. I had to hit bottom before I got it. So congratulations to you for getting it sooner. And then for like trusting your intuition, that whole thing that you see something and it's not logical. I talk all the time about how, you know, when we try to use logic to justify our intuition, it's like trying to take our kindergarten education to justify a PhD, that actually our intuition is a much deeper and higher form of wisdom, and that logic is wonderful. Data and facts are wonderful, but you know, it's not the be-all and end-all. So you trusted that reaction you had, that energy you felt, that intuition, and stepped into something that you didn't really know what it was going to look like, but all you knew is that when you thought about doing it, it felt great.
It felt great, and it was the right place. And I'm not saying it was easy. I took, you know, when I first started out, I had to move backwards in my career. But if you really find, and I think you would agree with this, something that calls to you, something that enables you to make a difference. And the way I think it makes a difference is being able to, like I said, get authors tearing down the walls and allowing them to spread their message to readers. And just to be able to do that and get the message out for so many on these inspirational stories, the teachings of so many great people, it just has really been a blessing in these last years since we launched Balboa Press. And we've had great authors such as yourself, and they're going out and they're making a difference and they're spreading the word. And that's what makes it all worth it in the end.
Well, and for me, Balboa is a dream come true. When I enrolled in Christine, the group has heard me talk. I've had Christine Closer on my program to talk about the transformational author experience. Sandy is one of the people who actually partners with Christine, is one of the teachers in that program. And when I was in that program and considering, okay, I now know I'm called to, this is going to be a book, you know, this writing I've been doing, it's going to be a book. It took me almost no time at all to know that, you know, I remember as we, and we're going to talk today about the process of writing a book and how to actually make it happen and all the considerations. But one of them is to think about, okay, where do your peeps hang out? You know, where do the people, where's the market for your book? Where are the people who's likely to see your book and read, you know, read the back cover and the front cover and say, oh my, I have to have that. And I knew my peeps hung out at Hay House. It's not the only place they hang out. But no, honey, I knew there were a lot of them there.
That's for sure. And I love Dr. Wayne Dyer's saying, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I think that's so true. And I say that to myself every day. You can use it in your job, in your personal life. I think it's just the same thing you're saying through this radio show and your book, but you need to find what you can get passionate about. And we will talk about writing, and I'll talk about using that passion in writing, but I also believe in everyday life. You need to find what you're passionate about, because life's too short to be stuck in situations that don't fulfill you.
And, and you talked about the fact that it's not that you won't end up working. It's not that you might not end up working hard, I'll call it, or investing lots of hours in this thing that is your passion and your calling. I mean, if people look at me now, you know, be some nights the muse comes through at 10 p.m. and I'm writing from 10 to 2. Other days, you know, I live a very fluid life where I'm able to respond more to my energy and the flow of whatever need, knowing whatever needs to be done when. But it's not that I work fewer hours. And it is certainly not that there are never times in my journey when I succumb to fear and get myself freaked out. You know, I start spinning the, you know, stories in my head and start slipping back into those old ways of thinking I'm not enough. I can't, you know, who am I to be out here trying to do what I'm trying to do? I have, you know, I feel I have a very big calling to touch the world with hope and possibilities. And so it's still, life is still a journey, you know, it's not a destination.
I would be scared if you didn't have those fears, or if somebody didn't. I do too. And when you talk about work a lot, I actually think I work more because I do all the I Can Do It events, and I'm still doing my work during the week. But the difference is I'm happy, and you're doing one of the events, and you'll come see. But it's just being around, you know, as you say, the Hay House piece. Everybody that comes is so filled with positive energy. It gives me energy. It's just, but yeah, it's everyday life still raises them there, and it's not like it's all just a candy store. There's still trials, but I think if you have that belief in yourself and the belief in what you're doing, you have a better way of getting past those.
Well, and what Sandy is talking about, the I Can Do It conferences is part of the global Hay House tour. And one of the opportunities that I have, the newest thing I signed on for with Balboa, is I'm actually going to be at the September 28th and 29th event in Washington, D.C., which is where I lived for many years. It's where my son still is. And be there live signing books, which is going to be, you know, that another dream come true. So, yes, it is all about passion. And it is amazing that when you are passionate about what the ways you are investing your energy in your life, work, rest, and play, it all starts to blur together. It all starts to feel the same. It's still really important to take time to rest and reflect and play and renew. But the things that we tend to label as work become joy.
It really does. And you talked about the events. If any of your listeners have never had a chance to go to one, it's just a wonderful weekend that just refreshes and energizes. It's an I Can Do It and event, and they're all over the country. Well, all over the world. We do a lot of international events. I'll be in Australia next month doing them. And it's just to connect with so many people that have basically the same belief systems. They want to make the world a better place in some way. And I think all of us can do that. I mean, how many people do you have to touch? How many people does your book have to touch for you to feel you made a difference? And when I ask this to people, they don't say, you know, 1,000. Most of them end up around 10. I mean, if I think that I could really affect 10 people's life, that's powerful. Now, and then they go out, it's just a ripple effect. And I think that's what this movement's about, this transformational, this love movement. And I'm just glad to be a part of it.
In this 2 minutes we have before the break, I'm going to tell a quick story in that regard. So my book is recently released in the middle of June, and I've ordered some so that when I'm at events, I'm doing local book signing events where people can actually get signed books from me and buy books. And so I had an opportunity to sing at a local Science of Mind church, and because I am a trained singer, and also sign books afterwards. And a gentleman I don't know at all bought a book from me. And the following week, I came home from, you know, lunch probably, and I had a voicemail from a man who was crying into the phone. And he said, "I want you to know all I've read is the first page, and I want you to know how much you've touched my life." And this man has an amazing story of having been in a motorcycle accident and died and been brought back three times and go through recovery that's extraordinary. And so that phone call was like, you want to know how many lives that phone call? Because I can't know how many lives he'll talk about and they'll talk about, and it will touch their lives and their lives and their lives. And it's like that pebble in a pond that sends a ripple out. And we will never know all the lives we've touched. All I can do is show up fully in this moment and be fully present here now. One of the things I also want to quickly mention is the Hay House Conference, by the way. If you're in a situation where you can't travel, it's offered incredibly reasonably priced to stream online. And so I've actually already, quote, been to the conference, because when they first released it, I signed on to stream it. I think it was like $50 to stream it for a weekend or however many days. Actually, it may have been more than that. It may have been a month. And it allowed me to consume all of it and participate in all of it from the convenience of my home. So there are other ways if traveling is not an option for you. But if you can go in person, I'm told it is quite an event in person, and I will be there with Liz Fish, the vice president from IPEC, my coach training school that I participated in, who wrote the foreword to my book. So she will be there with me for the weekend helping to promote the book as well. And actually, we're going to take a quick 2-minute break right here, and we will be back with more about writing that book inside you.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at djwlifecoach.com and click on the current offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the current offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
Listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah again. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Sandy Powell. In the previous segment, we discussed how choosing to fuel ourselves with love creates a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow. In this second segment, Sandy and I will examine how to successfully unlock the writer within you. And Sandy, I know one of the places you start when you talk about this is the importance of writing from your heart.
I do. I talk to a lot of new or first starting out authors, and it seems over and over I hear the same thing. What is selling? You know, vampires are really big right now. I should write a vampire book, which makes me laugh, because I find trying to write an inspirational or transformational vampire book might be sort of interesting. But what I really want to tell people is stop writing for the end consumer, and write from your heart. If you have a message to be shared, it's going to come to you. You know, you need to stop thinking about impressing your colleagues or out there trying to impress the latest critic. You just need to write to to make a difference in one person's life. And then, as we talked before, you'll make a difference in a many people's lives. There's always going to be people who don't believe in you. But no matter how many factual evidence, there's always going to be the doubters. But if you sit down, let it flow. Do not edit yourself at first. That's one of the things I tell people, because they'll come up there and say, I'm stuffed. And Deborah, you can share some of your stories being a writer yourself. But I tell them, if they try to edit it while they're going, they're going to actually hamper their flow.
Oh, yes.
Do you agree?
Yes. Well, writing a book is a relationship. And like any relationship, it unfolds over time. And you develop greater intimacy with this other entity, this other person, this other being. And so, yes, writing from the heart. And I have people, because, you know, you will be unsurprised that as a result of having been a coach, a professional coach, and writing a book, I now have people coming to me to coach them about writing their books. And one of the things that people think is that, oh my gosh, you know, we have Wayne Dyer and Marianne Williamson and Pema Chodron and, you know, you name it, all these writers. I mean, why would they need me? There's all these writers out there. And I tell them, there is a tribe of people waiting just for you. They aren't even as good as I know my book is. They aren't even waiting for me, honey. They're waiting for you to share how you experienced it, whatever it is, the transformation in your life, with your language, your examples, your words, because it's your version that they will get. You know, they won't necessarily resonate to my language. I have my own tribe out there that was waiting for me. And so just write from your heart, because trust me, whatever touched you and transformed your life, you're not the only person wired like that.
Exactly. And that sort of brings me into my next point, to be passionate about your book. So you can get there and you can pour your heart out on your book, but you have to be able to speak passionately about the topic. I can hear you and you believe in this, and you believe in touching people's life and helping people and helping other people write their book to touch lives. And the person and the future author needs to be able to talk about this, needs to truly believe and go out and be able to discuss it with people and convey that passion, that belief that they have to someone else to get them excited about it. So not only do they have to be, you know, right from the heart, but that you can't be quiet about it. This is a special time. You need to just be bursting with the energy to be able to convey all your emotions down to that book and to other people. I'm sure you started really early in talking to other people about your book and bouncing off ideas, am I right?
Well, one of the things I did, you know, I'm the in for a penny, in for a pound girl. I don't do anything halfway. And
why
it's part of how I know, for me, the way I'm wired is I have to behave as if it's a reality and if it's true, that I'm making the right choice. And I'm a big believer in baby steps and testing the energy, you know, testing how the doors open. But once I commit wholeheartedly, and then I see what data I get back. So I started by writing a blog. And when I published that blog, because I knew, I planned for it to be the seeds for writing my book. I had seen Julie and Julia. I knew how it worked, that I could take a blog, turn it into a book, and maybe a movie too. And I started writing a blog, and I did not refer to it as my blog. I referred to it as my book online.
Oh, that's perfect.
And the funny thing is, I was pretty sporadic in the beginning, and there were 13 blogs, and they were really long for blogs, because I had a lot to say. I'd been quiet for a long time. But that starter blog, those 13 blogs were like the starter culture for making homemade yogurt. They became that initial seed to what then, once I was coaching, I started writing my clients' stories, and a lot of the listeners have heard me talk about this, but I took my clients' experiences of transformation, wrapped life lessons around, and published those on my website as inspirational stories. Then I turned them into workbooks, and all along in my mind, I'm saying, this is all for the book. These are all pieces of the book. And so I started referring, I put my, on my business card, I changed my business cards that I can print myself, and I changed them all the time, and I made it say artist, author, and life coach. Because, and someone said to me, someone very official said, you can't call yourself an author until you're published. I said, gee, I seem to have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one seems to have stopped me. Are the publishing police going to come tell me, no, she can't call herself an author?
And that's one of the barriers. There are no barriers anymore. We're in the time of creative expression, and that's what I like about this. But I like what you said about how you were in for all of it, and you knew you were going to make it a reality, because, I mean, truthfully, to make anything a reality, you have to pour your heart and soul, everything into the dream to make it become so. Because if you're not going to believe in it, who else will?
That's right. And you know, I want to be real too, because there were hard days. I talk, and one of the things that I did when the writing got hard, I wrote about why it was hard. When I started to write the discovery framework, when I took my own experience, which I then reverse engineered, and because the engineer in me and the consultant in me and the paradigm and model creator in me said, well, if I want to teach this to people, I got to have ways to help them understand it and to understand what happened. When I sat down to write that chapter, those chapters on the discovery framework, and I was going to describe in a linear fashion in print something that is not linear at all, and I was still really understanding it. Oh my gosh. So I'm sitting here paralyzed trying to get that section go. The rest of it was all flowing. It was all great. And I said, put it on the page. And so I did. I opened the chapter by saying, as I sit down to write this chapter, I find myself more than a little petrified. Why is that? And I wrote about it. I told the reader. And the funny thing is that once I wrote about it, I knew exactly what to do to move forward in it. And that's, it's all there. So put the fear on the page. I'm a big fan of that.
That's great. And when you write about being stuck, when you spoke about being stuck, everybody gets stuck. And I don't want anybody to think that it's just going to flow and everything's going to be rosy. But one of the things I've found, and just some really practical advice, everybody sort of knows their best time. Like, I'm best first thing in the morning. Some people are best in the evening. I find with people struggling to complete, because that's the hard thing. Everyone has the ability to start a book. Not everybody has the passion, the discipline to finish writing the book. That's the hardest thing, writing to completion. So what I thought, just some real practical tips I tell people, is to reserve that time. And maybe it's every day. Some people can't do every day. But to sit down, and just like you, if you're stuck that day or something else, just start writing. Do writing exercises. Pick something silly to write. Just get in the habit of having that. Was that something you did? Did you have a special time, a day?
I had always been in my consulting career and life very, very structured. So part of my transformation was to learn to trust my energy. So for me, and this is where the most important thing is, whatever Sandy and I say today, try this, try that, try the other thing. Yes, try all of them and then figure out what works for you and do that. So okay. For me, I had to not get really hung up on tons of plans and Excel spreadsheets and the things I love to do, and just each day say, what part could I write about? You know, maybe I thought, every time I said to myself, well, tomorrow I'm going to write the section on spirituality, and the universe would laugh and say, ha, I think not. Because, oh, by the way, we wanted to percolate more for you, Deborah. It wasn't a bad thing. I wasn't stuck. I wasn't ready. So what I found is, pay attention to your energy, honor and respect it, follow it. And oh, by the way, no amount of progress is too small to celebrate. So when I say a baby step, some days, honey, all I did was finally find the adjective or the adverb I was searching for, or finally write the next paragraph, or figure out what order. Oh, I'd reorder the chapters, say, oh, really, I think it flows better this way. Or sometimes I love graphics and stuff. So sometimes I delight myself with how I was going to convert all my models, which are in color, to grayscale. It was like literally, okay, I can't write this next section. Writing the book is not linear. I did not sit and write, you know, from the beginning, every section. I filled in the sections I knew I had until I had all of them. And just follow your energy.
I agree. So another thing that I have found has helped some people, though, and I don't know, like Deborah said, you just need to pick and choose sometimes, or not use any of it. I mean, and find your own way. But start planning a book launch event for when your title's like, start envisioning that. Start getting really excited about that. Sometimes that'll pull you through those really tough times, because I really envisioning the outcome, and through even tougher times in my life, that's got me through some of it. Just the excitement of being able to see the end of the journey, what I'm putting all this work into. And I've told that to some people, and they've come back to me and said, that worked. You know, it was a great motivator for completing the manuscript, and it was a lot of fun, and they got excited, and sometimes they just were really down, but it helped bring them through that. So that might be another thing you can use in the sometimes when you're stuck or not feeling it. Just start focusing on the end.
I'm reminded, I think it's Wayne Dyer, who talks about the fact that one of the things he does is when he envisions a new book, and of course, Wayne Dyer has professional designers who can go off and do this for him since he's a highly published author, but he has the cover created early and he keeps it on his wall, you know, on his wall, and he has it right there. So every day he can look at it and it just becomes a real living, breathing thing. So some people find that's helpful. Many people who teach writing, I know Christine Closer talked about this and other people in her program talked about write the back cover, write the back cover of the book. And I did, because for her program, that was one of the things I did to be in the contest. But it was like, write the back cover, write the title. And oh, by the way, my back cover changed. I had some core parts of my branding language that late in the writing, I got even greater clarity, even more powerful language. And I know when it first came up for me, I was like, I can't be messing with my core branding language at this point. And it was like, really, honey, you think after the book goes out, that's the time to do it? And it was like, oh my gosh, what might the implications be? And the implications were that it was even more powerful. So that brings up the other thing for me is nothing. I know we as writers love our words, and one of the people talks about murdering your darlings. You get really hung up when it has to be said a certain way, and this is how I always describe it. I just encourage you to breathe and relax into that, because if you can let go a bit of that over-attachment to specific words, you may find even better words.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that completely. I think we've all had it beat into us that some words are better than the others, but I agree. Just let it flow. Open yourself up and listen to that power that's telling you to write this book in the first place. I mean, everyone, there's a reason you're feeling driven to write a book. Usually that you have a message to share.
Well, one of the things that in just this last 2 minutes before we're going to take another break, one of the things that came up for me, once you've written your manuscript and as fate would have it, having planned certain rough plans about when the book would be done, my manuscript was delivered to Balboa Press to be edited on Valentine's Day. Now, if a book about loving yourself gets finished on Valentine's Day, if that isn't good karma, honey, I don't know what is. But get ready for the editing journey. And oh, by the way, I don't care how good a writer you are, I know we all benefit from editing. But it's another time when you have to breathe into it. And because I hired the professional editors from Balboa. That was part of the services that I purchased from them. And oh my, when this total stranger came back, you know, of course, part of what you want to hear is it's a great book. And she did have the sense to say that. She did have the sense to say that to me. But I got such value from this fresh perspective. And it really, when I step back from it, she didn't massively restructure my book. But there were key things where she said, oh, you know, you've already brought them into the book. You don't want to be using marketing language this late in the piece. Pull that stuff. I suggest pulling that stuff forward. And just different things that give you someone who has greater perspective, and in this case, tremendous experience and credentials, can really help. But, you know, even a friend reading it, or someone who you know is a good writer, and someone who you can remain friends with, even when they're going to say to you, you know, I just don't get it. When you say that, that doesn't speak to me. I don't understand.
You're absolutely right. If you spend your money anywhere, spend it on an editor. We have great editors at Balboa Press, but get it done. That's the key mistake that beginning authors make, is not getting edited, because a good editor is not going to change your work. They're going to polish it.
So. Yeah. And by the way, be ready, because if you do that, you're not done when you submit the manuscript. My editing journey was a few months, and I let myself relax into it because I needed time to come to terms with the kinds of changes that would polish it and give myself time to sit with it and have the additional insights come through. So it is an important part of the journey, and we're going to talk more in the next segment. But oh, by the way, it's not over even once the book has been released. There's still a whole lot more that goes on in the publicity phase, and I'm knee-deep in that one right now. But right here, we're going to take a two-minute break, and we'll be back again.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at djwlifecoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hello, Deborah here again. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Sandy Powell. In the first two segments, Sandy and I examined the transformative power of choosing love as your core fuel to open up a world of endless opportunities and foster a life of flow. And we explored the keys to successfully unlocking the writer within you. In the final segment of today's show, we're going to take a closer look at four essential questions to consider to position yourself for publishing success. So, Sandy, take it away.
Thanks. So one of the things, or four of the things that I ask people to think about before they publish their book to position them best for success is, the first is their book out there just like mine. Now, there are many books on the same topics, and I'm not saying that, you know, it has to be some obscure topic, but you need to have a new take. Your message, your transformation, as you said earlier, your story, and tell it through your own words. I hear many, many times, well, my book is just like Wayne Dyer's. Well, I tell them that's fine if you're talking about the same messages, but they still need to be unique and key. So you need to dig into yourself to be able to not only identify the book like yours, so you can look at their cover, you can look at their insides, you can look at their marketing, but you need to make sure that it's unique enough that you can find a market for it. And this is sometimes hard. It's that hard message to look at and say, have I really brought out everything in my journey to make my book unique and position it the best place in the market and really touch people? Because in the end, you have to have a good book to be able to be successful. You can have everything else, but if your book is not good, if it doesn't tell and deliver new ways to hear a message, then you don't have an audience for it. And Deborah, I know that you took people's stories of transformation and really told a critical story, and then you're helping people build and change their lives. So I'm, like I said, it doesn't have to be a new topic. It just has to be a new way of helping someone through these critical times.
And I think that's where one of your earliest pieces of wise counsel in terms of writing from your heart. If you write from your heart, It's this weird, you know, this is going to sound like these two things are in conflict, but they're not. So let's explore it a bit. So here we're saying, is there a book out there just like mine? So that sounds like looking outside myself, and we're going to talk more about who might read it. And so yes, there is a looking outside yourself, but what I find is the more you can look within and really be able to articulate what you've experienced in your way, and you really spend time paying attention to your experience, analyzing your experience, and in my case, because of the nature of what I do as a life coach, I also was paying attention to my client's experience and my experience. Look for patterns to see if you can describe those patterns, see if they seem to hold up, test your language on other people. But always go back within and I think, and when you're stuck, it's like, okay, am I being authentic? Because if you're authentic, you won't have to worry about writing the same book as someone else, because you're not Wayne Dyer. You're not Deborah Wells. You're not Sandy Powell. You're you.
Exactly. This one person had a powerful story of forgiveness. She, you know, a horrible crime was committed against her, but she, through finding self-love and hope, was able to take that and turn it around and make great medical strides and actually, you know, forgive the person who did this and reach out to his family. But when she sent me the book, it was a dry reciting of the facts and then some quotes from, you know, another author, that the authors that she read to help. And I sent it back to her because I really knew her story was powerful and said, you've got to dig deep. You've got to dig. And she did, and she cussed me for telling her that I had to. But at the end, it made goosebumps on my arms. It was such a powerful story because she reached in and said how she was able to overcome this rage and these awful, you know, medical, he crippled her, and overcome all that to be able to forgive and be this shining example of, you just want to be around her all the time now. So it's you're absolutely right. You just have to, if you're writing from the heart, if you're really digging in, and, you know, sometimes it'll be raw and sometimes it'll be hurtful and painful to go through it again.
When you were saying that, the words that came into my head is there's crying and cursing in writing. It may not end up on the page, but honey, if you're really writing from the heart, there will be crying and cursing because that's what you're excavating.
Exactly. If you're getting to where you need to be, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
If to be able to help someone. And then, you know, and that sort of takes me into the next topic. Is there an audience for a book? Now, that's totally different than the other. So I asked this to aspiring authors all the time, who's your audience? Who is going to be reading your book? And if you tell me every single person in the world, you haven't done your homework. So the people that are serious is the ones that you can pretty much know your audience by the interest, by where they look for information, what they find helpful. You said yourself, your audience was Hay House peeps. I mean, and that was a general, but I knew what you meant by that. It's people that do believe have, you know, a desire to improve their lives, are always looking for more information to help do that. So that's the kind of thing you need to be able to do. You need to pretty much describe who you're reaching out to with your book. Now, will others pick it up? Sure, that might happen, but there's going to be a core audience, and I think it sounds like you thought through that very well.
Deborah. Yeah, I was telling, in fact, Sandy and I have been talking about this, and you guys, I think, have heard me talk about this on the show before, that when I sat down and was wrestling with this particular step in the process, I said, one of the questions they ask is, where do your peeps hang out? And I thought of that in publishing terms, and I said, well, I mean, I buy books from lots of different publishers or lots of different people who publish with different people, but if you ask me to pick a single place where I could be pretty sure a whole bunch of my peeps are hanging out, it's Hay House, and for the kind of book I was writing. And so I pretty early on said, well, Hay House kind of people, you know, it's the Hay House kind of people. And then when I learned of the Balboa division, which I like to call everything from self-publishing to fully assisted publishing, and I went to the fully assisted end because I could, and that's what I chose to do. But, you know, once I knew that existed, that they not only were connected to my peeps, but, oh, by the way, if I wanted to purchase things like professional editing services, and I have a professional publicist now who's going to be bombarding 5,000 media outlets worldwide for 12 weeks straight on my behalf. You think that isn't going to help the book get out there? You know, that I really, that was compelling for me. It was a compelling way to get to my audience, which I know is going to also help lead into that next, some of the other points you want to make.
It is, because you brought up, you know, the key point to that, that will be a driver for your marketing plan for the book, because you need to ask the question, can you sell this book on my own? Balboa Press is going to have great tools for you. We're going to have full publicists, so some people might be able to take advantage of that. We also have more of the tools that you can, but you still have to push it. I mean, Deborah, just because you have a publicist, you're not sitting back and waiting for the publicist to do everything.
No.
I mean, Louise Hayes went across the town she was in with copies of her book in her trunk, asking bookstores to take some, and then there were, and then she'd go talk about it to different places, and she'd talk about it in her lives, and then that bookstore would sell out, and they'd try to reorder. So, I mean, you have to be the biggest driver of the book. And this is with whatever path to publishing you choose, whether it's fully assisted self-publishing like Balboa Press, if it, you're doing it yourself completely, or if it's traditional publishing. I mean, you will not see any successful author that's not out there working hard promoting their book. And you need to be comfortable doing that. And I always want to stress it to people, because I don't want them to come in with the idea that, you know, I've written a book, now the hard part's done.
I'm living in this part right now, and I'm a person who, in that 30-year consulting career, one of the things I specialized in was marketing and communication. So it's not, you know, for many people, it's that they've never done any kind of marketing or publicity stuff. That's not my problem. The thing about the journey is, remember, the book, it's a relationship, and that means even once the book is born, you know, it's like you're not done. There, you know, there's work to do to get the book to be able to stand out there on its own and do the work you want it to do in the world. And that all of these phases, continuing to see it as a journey, continuing, this is where the self-love stuff comes in, continuing to not burn yourself out in the process. Notice when the fear does surface. Go underneath that fear and understand what those hidden messages, what the gremlins are that have risen again, the I'm not enough message, the I'm not special, you know, the I don't know how to do this and no one wants to help me message, that whatever it is, or I don't have the resources or the skills. And then give yourself some breathing space and go underneath that, and then question your assumptions. Really? Really? There's no one who would help you. You know no one who would help you? I bet that's not true. I bet you do know people. I bet what it is you don't want to ask for help. Or you're not enough? Really? You wrote the book. I mean, when I get the I'm not enough, my book is around my house. I have like four copies of it in key rooms, two copies in my office right here. And that book is there all the time. And oh, they did, Balboa did a fabulous, their designer did a fabulous cover design for me. I absolutely love it. And whenever I say to myself, I'm not enough, I then say, really? Because I know this woman named Deborah Jane Wells who wrote a 266-page book with 16 illustrations in it. So I don't know how it is that you're not enough now to do the publicity and the marketing. I'm just not buying that.
And you have to start early with the publicity. And you're right. You just have to look at your resources and be real about what you can do. I mean, first, as soon as you know you're going to get out there, you need to utilize social media and have one key place that you're going to push out the contents to the other sites. So whether it's a blog and you push, there's technology like FeedBurner that allows you to do this. You need to start engaging your audience, because you want to build a relationship that they'll trust you and then they'll want to hear what you have to say. If you are able to have a website, which is really important, and can gather email addresses, that's good, because then you can notify people when your book's coming and keep them. But to give, for someone to give their email address, you need to be offering something valuable, and it can't just be, you need to put some thought into it. You know, like Deborah can offer some of her key success stories, but there needs to be a reason for me to sign up for your content. You can do local book signings. especially independent bookstores, are really supportive of authors. You need to just be realistic about your budget, be willing to get out there and work the streets yourself, and utilize social media. I can't say that enough, because that's where more and more publicity is going. It's where more and more people are finding the different products. And I think, Deborah, you said that you weren't a big fan of it before, but you've started now. It's been a lot.
No, the book was, when I knew I was writing a book, then I finally got on fire for it, because I understood why it mattered and what I did. And I teach programs now on social media. It can be easy, fast, and fun, because people tell me I don't have time for social media and I don't like social media. And what I'd say is, it doesn't have to take a lot of time. Find one you really like. And for me, it was Pinterest. I have a blog and I have Pinterest, and I fed those. And then these days you can use technology to have it automatically refeed it to my Facebook profile, my Facebook fan page, onto Twitter, and so all I had to do was publish it one place and send it out. We have just a couple minutes. I want to mention one other thing, because you listeners have watched me do this. Go back and listen. Just look at the descriptions on my radio show archive on my website. For my shows, remember how in my first season, those first 13 weeks, I would intersperse into having other guests with me sneak previewing chapters of the book as I was writing them? So I was building momentum for the book. And oh, by the way, there was nothing better than reading that chapter aloud for me to really refine the content of it. So look for a chance to be on a radio show. Voice America is a great platform. You get a zillion people who are always looking for guests. Find a way to start talking about the book while you're writing it. You don't even have to wait till it's done. Start to build momentum and tell them when it's coming. Tell them when it'll be offered.
Exactly.
So, Sandy, we have just 2 minutes left. I want to give you a chance to wrap this up for everyone.
So, well, I really want to thank you for allowing me to be on the show and talk about things that I'm really passionate about. And I would just like to encourage all your listeners, if you feel like you have a message to tell someone, if you feel the compulsion to write, sit down and listen to that. Write from your heart. Write because you want to help another person, because that's what I find most of the successful authors are. And it can be fiction, it can be nonfiction. At Balboa Press, we accept all topics. We just review them to make sure they have a positive message, because we truly believe in the Hay House message of changing the world, transforming lives, whether it's through poetry. You can read a poem and just have an awakening. So write that book. Write that book you've been waiting to write. Get your message out, and then come see us at Balboa Press. I think you'd be very surprised. Do your research, but I think we're the best out there if you're writing a book with in these topics. So I
concur. You are the best. You are the best. And I appreciate so much, Sandy, you investing your time to be here today, to talk with me, to encourage our listeners. I also want to thank my incredible Voice America production team, who keeps me on track and makes this show possible. When you explore my Voice America host page, you'll find more information about upcoming episodes and the nature of life coaching, with opportunities to listen to recordings of past episodes, ones like this one that you're going to want to listen to again when you're sitting and writing that book, opportunities to purchase my book, subscribe to my social media feeds, and sign up for special offers to guide you on your journey to wholeness. This is Deborah Jane Wells signing off for now. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed and a blessing. And so it is. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.